This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
It's time to take your place on the starting grid and get ready for Racer Radio. Your host, Dave Stahl, about to take you for a white-knuckled lap around the motorsports industry, covering everything from top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Watch for the apex, because here comes Racer Radio with Dave Stahl.
Welcome to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The answer.
All righty, I'm Brittany Sandoval. That was my co-host, Jamie Gassert, and I am lucky enough to call her Mom. I want to acknowledge this hour's sponsor, Southwest Point of Sale, and I want to thank Black Forest Motorsports for all of their support. 40 years of experience working on BMWs, Minis, and Porsches. Whether you're looking for a dealer alternative or you want to go racing, consider going to Black Forest Motorsports. Check them out at blackforestautomotive.com. That was blackforestautomotive.com. Well, happy Mother's Day. There are a lot of mothers out there, and I know we have some extra mothers listening. Happy Mother's Day to Mama Patricia, Jolene, Cindy, Danielle, Lena Jo, Bev, Sally, and maybe even Heidi, Heather, Sarah, Nilsa, and Brigitte. There's a lot of extra listeners today. They're super excited. Mama,
yes,
how
ma'am.
You doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for having me on.
Not a problem. So, listeners, this might sound a little different. Dave is playing hooky, as I was last weekend, but we both promised to be back in studio next Sunday. But buckle up, because he left me in charge. And I have not only my mother, who is my co-host, but I brought in a special guest as well. So what I love about this trio here is all three of us have two big things in common. They're giving me the what is she about to say look. Correct me if I'm wrong, you two. All three of us have thrown a leg over a two-wheeled vehicle and waited in staging for a race, of course. And all three of us have been live on stage for a performance. Is this true?
This is very true.
So, along with my co-host, Jamie, we have Greg Goodwin. Welcome, both of you.
Thanks for having me, for sure.
How are you?
Good. Always good.
Yeah. So, since this is Racer Radio, what all have you raced? Because we met with four wheels, but now you're on two wheels. Like, what all have you raced or plan to race?
I started with my dad back in New Hampshire in late models.
So dirt. Four wheels.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I always tried to stay on two wheels here and there. You know, never really raced a lot on two wheels, but mostly only on four wheels.
So it was fun on two wheels, race four wheels.
Yeah. Now I'm slowly getting back into the two wheel racing. So I'm trying to...
Now, asphalt.
Yes.
Okay. And so let's rewind a little. I believe my first memory of you was probably around 2016. My first season of racing a dwarf car. Listeners, sorry, I know I talk about dwarf cars all the time.
The little white car.
Yeah, I had a little number two. And I hear kind of in my pit area, what the heck are you doing here? But you were saying that to Steve.
Yes.
Right?
I thought I recognized him, but it was so out of place.
Right.
You know, I'm like, well, if it was in a club, I probably would have noticed him right away.
Yes, yes.
But I'm sitting there like, I swear I know that guy. I don't know where I know him from. And then it just clicked. Like, he used to promote my old band Mower.
Mower. And so we have that in common. So Mower used to play out as Slower. So they would take your music that you did fast and punk.
Yep.
And do more like loungy. And then that's where the band that I was in, Chemistry with Steve, we would play with them as Slower, but you were Mower.
And I only played with them as Mower.
Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't do that. So then we raced four wheels, dirt track.
Yes.
What? And then you kind of left for a little while.
I took a little break off. My wife's a little sick, so I tried to take some time off and spend with her, and she's getting a little bit better, so now I'm trying to balance everything out.
Right. But then something drew you to two wheels and asphalt recently.
Within the last 5 years, Yeah, I've been really starting to, you know, go to track days and getting my skills honed in. And I did it because my four-wheel racing was starting to lag.
Okay.
The age is getting to me. I'll be 52. So I want to get my balance back.
Okay. I was just on two wheels for the first time in a long time yesterday. My dad and I went for a ride for his 70th birthday. 50th, is that what you want to say, Dad? And, and I was like, oh, no, I like the cage. You know, with age comes the cage.
Right.
But you're going at it the other direction.
Yeah, I just love the aggressiveness of motorcycles on the street and on the track. It's just another level.
So what tracks? Where are you going for track days?
So I got a little 300 R3. They take up the Apex, and I like, because it's a nice little tight track, and I just hone in on skill and...
And balance, you mentioned.
Yeah, and, you know, and just learning how to get through corners, like, just like in a dirt track.
So, like I said, I haven't been on two wheels in quite a while, and my dad pulled over, you know, and, you know, this and that, and I go, I was grinning really big because I haven't done the counter steering in a while, and that is so fun.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, between counter steering or, you know, with racing dirt track, if you got the setup right, you're going left, but you're turning right. Like, those two things give me chills. And I just thought, like, there's so many people who don't experience that. They're missing out.
They are.
Right?
And I try to get my friends into it. My buddy Damon, he had been a racer that took a long time off.
Uh-huh.
And I've always had my... green car, I call it. It's just...
Yeah. Oh, okay. You're talking dirt track.
Yeah,
yes.
Now I'm talking
dirt
track.
You're back to dirt track, four wheels.
Yeah,
because
four
I know who Damon is. Okay,
yep.
Right. So, for the listeners, he's talking about dirt track circles again. Okay.
Sorry, jumping back and forth. Yeah. But I always try to get my friends to experience what I love.
I know.
So he raced my green car for 2 years. I tried to get another friend into it, and... he practiced it, but he said straight up, this is not for me.
It isn't for everybody. You're right. I mean, we've had, I go back to Bob Freiheit, his optometrist, or maybe it was the surgeon who worked on his eyes. He was a Porsche guy. And he's like, I can do that. So he drives up, he's in his driver's suit, driving in his Porsche up Wildcat Canyon to go up to a practice at Barona, because Bob said, fine, you can take my dwarf car out for a practice. He got in the car and only just started to put the belts on. And he's like, I need out now. So he didn't even get strapped in, because it isn't for everybody.
It really isn't.
It's nice of you to offer.
I try to get... any one of my friends that want to sit in my car and go around the track, I'm more than willing
to
put them in.
Well, and sometimes it sticks because Damon bought the car,
he bought Frank's old car.
Okay, I knew he bought a car.
Yep.
It's purple now.
It was Bobby Thompson's old car.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah, and he seems to be having a lot of fun.
Oh, he loves it.
Yeah.
He loves it. He was just over yesterday helping me set up my car because the fiasco we had at our last race.
I think my dad said it took us 12 minutes to complete our first lap because there was so much going on. And I got beat on so much the first and two races that for some reason, the third race, I got out of there clean. It was nice.
17 cars, 10 of us finished, I think.
Something like that. That's yeah, well, there was one line and hopefully you got that one line till things dried up. But, okay, so I feel like you've come back strong, though, and I thought I heard you say you got some suspension.
Yes.
You invested?
No, I learned how to build my shocks.
Oh, okay.
So now I build all my own shocks now.
Oh, and
because I built that car.
Well, you turned it from a truck into a sedan, didn't you?
Yeah, well, when I first built it, I thought I wanted a truck, so I built the truck, and then... I didn't think that had an advantage on it. I feel the sedans...
Like the air resistance?
Yeah, and I think the way the sedans are, they kind of act like a wing.
Yeah, exactly. With
so
that, yeah,
drag. I took the truck apart, the back section, and then just made it a sedan.
So you've tested it. Is this true, your theory?
I think it does hold true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would see the physics in it,
yeah,
which I love the physics behind
and
setup.
I did the roof. I scalloped the roof, so it's kind of winged. So
you might want to stop talking now. People might be listening and recalling during tech. Hey, Brendan, this is the first time I've been on this side of the table. Do we need to go for a quick break?
It's up to you. You know, we can go right now. Okay, we can go later.
Yeah. I'm looking at the clock here. Well, let's take a quick break. We do have a lot more to come right here on Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
Oh, this is Instilling a Story. Welcome back. You are listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment is brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better than El Cajon Ford. The inventory is starting to climb, new and used, so when you are ready to pull the trigger, go to ElCajonMotors.com. Tell them you heard it right here on KCBQ. Thank them for supporting Racer Radio every week. Thank you for that. So, Brendan, you got Run the Jewels on, and it sparked a memory with you, Greg. So, to the listeners, I mentioned in the opening that all three of us not only race, we're racers, but we're also musicians. We're going there early because that song just inspired. So, I use music. I use it to relieve stress, whether it's writing or listening to it. I use it to get me in a mood or out of a mood. And that song and that band especially puts me in that mood before I go out on the track.
Nice.
So do you find that at all? Does music move you? But I still have that story.
Music always moves me, for sure. I don't run it like you do in the car before. Because I see you listening to music like right in your car, right as you go
and then
out.
I have to take her iPod.
I'm not set up like that.
Okay.
But I do use it to get pumped up for sure.
So, Dirt Dude, I hear you're on the line. I still got to get to this story because it's most embarrassing for me. But Dirt Dude, thank you for joining us. How are you?
Dude, I thought I'd just click in and say hi. Knowing Greg for a while back when. In the early days, before we really started taking over Brona Speedway, we ran like Temecula Speedway, and we did a nationals at Brona a long time, and I think that's probably when I first met Greg Goodwin. Bardo he had a home built car, and we were actually just kind of playing around with that, doing some racing here, there, Arizona, Manzanita. Oh man, there's a lot of names. Like I remember Frank was always hanging around there. Tom Eaton and Bob Eaton had a car.
Yeah, yeah. Those are old blasts from the past.
Oh, yeah. Back when. That's when we first started going. We were watching Rich Rose and Tom and Bob Eaton, and that's what got us into it. We started looking at their cars and, what are they running? The Peter D. So we went to Arizona and went to one of the factories there and kind of took some pictures and ideas on how to make it. And Bardo built his in his own garage.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Is yours a home built too?
Yeah, I built mine. Yep.
Because, at the time there was like Peter D. And I think Eminem was just starting to come on the board there. And there was another guy that I was trying to remember that was. Who was the guy that brought all pretty much Dwarf Car into Southern
Triple
California?
E?
John?
The Eblings. I remember the Ebling was manufacturing a lot of cars.
This is all before my time, you two.
But try to remember John's name. John, he was an older gentleman. He's been at the track a lot.
Oh, John Henry.
Yes, that's it. John Henry.
Yeah,
was
love
the guy
that guy.
That was like kind of brought Dwarf Car to Southern California.
Oh.
Yep. That's it. I bought my first car off of him.
What time period are we talking?
This would be 2001.
We were more towards like 98,
wow.
95, 98.
Yeah, he was going to Barona since 98 when it first started.
Whole different century.
Yep, when Scribolito had the track.
Yeah, we were actually going before Scribs even took the track over. And then when Scribs took the track over, that's when we started being part of the Temecula Speedway thing, and then after that fell apart, kind of came back to Barona again then.
Yep. And then I remember Bob Lee was trying to put together a track up there near Temecula.
That's Bob Lee. That's the track that I went and worked with him for a while, and we were actually like, that's remember back when Victorville was had
oh,
a nice
yeah.
track.
I used to love
Everyone
going to
go
track.
There. It depends. I mean, if you got in the hole or out of the hole, like sometimes there'd be a hole in turn three and two. Turn one.
Gregory is agreeing with you.
Big as the car. Like they say, a car
as
disappears.
Big as the car.
Your car would fall in it.
Car disappear. Yeah. Sometimes it was there, and sometimes it wasn't. You could use that to your advantage. But I remember, like, oh man, Gordon Holman and all those guys. We used to travel to go to all that. Ron Dunlap.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, he's been doing it for a long time.
And he's back out.
Someone had just posted some pictures, and I think you were. They had a picture of Bardo's car, and I think you were there. Picture of your car, maybe Frank. But they were like, it was the old track photographer from Temecula and from Barona had a bunch of pictures, and someone actually had all of them. I was like, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I'd like to get my hands on those.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the little history there,
Dirk. Memory lane.
A little memory lane, a little lane I never was in. Because
well, you're in your own lane now.
I'm in my own lane now.
Because you are running a show, girl.
The fast lane.
Yeah, it's a fun lane to be in. But, Matt, you know, all those dates you were mentioning, I wasn't even thinking I would ever get to race a car, let alone do it. So never give up. There's a little. Never give up.
Greg, are you going to stay in a dwarf car? What's your plans for the future?
Right?
Bikes and stuff?
I'm stuck in dwarfs.
I want to know how you got into dwarfs if you were doing the late model.
I used to go to Frank Dameron's shop at Sunset Cliff Auto, and he was working on my Nova. I got a 68 Nova. He was doing some work on it, and I saw his, and
Yellow one?
It was a purple.
Oh.
It was like, it was way long ago.
Okay.
And I was just like, hey, what's up with that? He's like, come on out to Barona and check
it
out.
Like you do now.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I went out, and I'm like, I got to get me one of those things.
I understand.
Yep. And that was kind of the class that I liked just from a spectator point of view.
Yeah.
As a spectator watching, I'm like, that looks like fun. Looks like everyone there is having fun. I'm gonna try that. And
I think as a spectator, there's two different points of view. Some people see them as little rockets, and then do you ever get the... Oh, that's so cute.
Every now and then, until they come and watch us.
Yeah, until we're moving. I just got it last week in the pits. Oh, that's so cute. I'm all, it's a cute little rocket. Dirt Dude, I think he might be afraid to announce it live on radio, but I think it's his favorite.
Okay.
It's dwarfs. I think it's his favorite.
It's no secret. I've told everyone before, dwarf cars and modifieds are my two favorite groups.
Attaboy, way to have an opinion.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
It's got to be hard to commentate a dwarf race with all the like lane changes and everyone's like flopping
positions.
If
everyone would stay in their cars and not change colors and names and everything,
I know.
I can do it because I know everybody because they pretty much stay in the same car and the same numbers.
Yeah, I was trying to watch a Nationals up at Quincy last night, and I don't know half the people because they changed their color scheme, and then it's too small on my phone to see a number. So I'm like, yay, I guess. Yeah. So there's racing next weekend. You want to talk about that? I know I'm excited about it, Dirt Dude.
Oh, yeah. I don't have anything. I'm out in town doing some errands, and I was like, I don't have the schedule.
Oh,
I know
do.
We have... Okay. I was going to mention the dwarf cars are kind of on that limited. You guys going to be taking some time off for this summer.
Yes.
And then, so you have, what, two more races left for the season?
Yes, we run through May, and it looks like next week we have the IMCA Modified, IMCA Sport Mods, the Lightning Sprints non-winged. So that'll be fun. That's a lot more like a dwarf car without that wing. The dwarf cars, IMCA, it says stock car / street stocks. Does that mean they're running them together?
Yeah, that's what we have been doing. The IMCA Street Stock and the Barona Street Stock, this is the last year of that. We're switching over to IMCA Street Stock.
Okay, got it. And I don't want to miss the Pony Stocks are also racing along with the junior drivers.
Yeah, hopefully they can, you know, get a turnout and do good. I know everyone I talk to, like when they're a junior driver and they're like, I'm going to go into a pony. I'm like, good luck with that. You know, it's like one of those thumbs up. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Who knows how long they're going to be around. I really wish they would do good, but, you know, it's kind of a struggling group. It's, you know, probably like when we did our pro stocks that we had, and, you know, it's doing great. Everyone, you know, get a good group, and then all of a sudden it started getting like, you get like seven, now you get four, and then now yeah. it's the same ones, and then, you know, everyone's afraid of the one person that wins all the time. You're like, well, but you know, it's the way it is.
Is this because it's hard to come by those cars now? It's hard to find them?
I think so. I mean, they are getting aged out. Where, you know, you don't find ponies that much anymore.
Right.
But, and a lot of people have them, but then it's like no one really brings them up. Like, you go to Orange Show, they're still popular.
Oh,
Orange Show.
They still have the numbers. I see. Well, maybe now a junior driver could go into the Sport Compact.
That's the next thing. I'm like, dude, that's like the entry level for, you know, any kid, any junior driver getting to the track, or, you know, a pure stock. A pure stock's a good start, you know, at an entry level race car.
Yeah. And Greg is nodding,
yes.
But on radio you say yes. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Greg, I'm giving you a thumbs up. Can you tell right now?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
No, it was two thumbs up.
It was two thumbs. Yeah.
Well, I'm holding the phone with the other one, so I got to have only one thumb
okay,
right now.
Yeah. So you got Dirt Dude. You listen to the show regularly. You're going to have to keep listening for our caller coming in, calling in for the next segment, because apparently he recently raced at Barona. I'm not going to give away the rest of it so that I can keep you all listening.
You're going to make me sit in my car and anticipate this next one.
Exactly. Huh? Everybody, all listeners, including you, because the little background that I got on him, I was like, oh, I had to read it twice. I was like, really? So it's ought to be interesting next segment. Yes. But,
so our crazy weekend last weekend, did you see the footage of Shane Sexton's crash?
Oh, yes. Dave actually. Oh, and I think it looks like Gregory's face is telling me he saw it, too. The first thing I asked was he okay? And I heard yes. And then I made the comment, and nothing against the fire crew and emergency crew, but if I had been in it, it seemed like it took a long time for someone to get to him. And I'm sure it was just like, you know, seconds, but he was, yeah, lots of flips, landed on the side, I think. And
they were quick. They were quick enough. I mean, like, as soon as he went, like, I was watching because you can see the lights. As soon as he started going in there, the first time he's not even off the ground yet, they go red automatically.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, because you hear the sirens for a little bit before they get there, but it's still, they're coming from the middle.
Yeah,
the
he's
infield.
At the far end. And,
yeah,
nothing against them, but it must feel like a lifetime. Like,
yeah,
but I heard.
A few that are like, yeah, I think there's like 10-minute span in there, you know.
Yeah, it feels like it. What were you going to say, Greg?
I was going to say that it looked pretty brutal from the in-car cam I saw.
Oh, I didn't see in-car.
Yeah, someone has an in-car of it.
Oh, yeah. Rumor has a new chassis he's going to have to get.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. My co-host is pointing out the clock. Thank you, Mom. Thank you. I really appreciate that. So we're going to take a quick break, but we do have more to come. Thank you, Dirt Dude, for calling in right here on Racer Radio FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All righty. Welcome back. You are listening to Racer Radio FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment is brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway. If you have not been to Paris Auto Speedway, you have got to go. For more information, go to parisautospeedway.com. It is an amazing place, which, Greg, you said you have raced. I cannot believe it.
Yeah. Dwarf cars.
That's so crazy. And we might get to that in that last segment, because Scott Delosio, so he sets up callers to call in for the third segment. And he has found us a hot one today. Here's the little briefing that I got. Today's call-in guest caught on fire at Barona a couple weeks ago. Mr. Ken McWilliams, welcome.
I remember that. Hey, how's it going?
So mellow.
Yeah, you seem okay with it. Is this true? Did you really catch on fire at Barona a few weeks ago?
Yeah, we were leading the heat race, and under caution, one of the factory fuel lines, the seal came off, and I think it hit the exhaust, and it caught on fire pretty quickly.
That is not a good combination. What he did. No, and Greg's face is agreeing with me once again.
Grimace.
Yeah. So are you trying to get yourself another car? Have you gotten yourself another car?
Yeah, I got another car. I had one that I brought out the first night at Barona, and we had some issues. So I brought out my original car, and then obviously that caught on fire. So now I don't have a plan B. I just have the hope that plan A works out now.
Right.
And, you know, we're at the mechanic shop right now and trying to figure out what it is and figure out what the issue is, and hopefully we can bring it out to Paris and, you know, continue fighting for the points and eight points.
He's fighting for points. So what division are we talking about?
It's just the IMCA four compacts, the four cylinder.
Got it. Got it. Did you see that, co-host?
Yes, I did.
You saw that fire?
As we were leaving, I saw the engines running towards it, and somebody said there was a fire.
Oh.
So I thought, oh, I hope it turns out well.
I think there are enough sport compacts out there that he's going to be able to have a plan B as well. What do you think?
He should.
Yeah.
Yeah. Luckily, I had last race was in the heat race. So one of my friends, he drives a car out there, and he loaned it for me for the main event so I can keep up with the points and stuff like that.
Let's hear this friend's name. This is a really good friend. Yeah. Who was that, if you want to give him a shout out?
Yeah, it was my buddy Andrew. It was a Honda, unfortunately, you know.
What? Please expand on that. Please expand on it was a Honda, unfortunately. Could you? Could you expand on that?
Well, you know, there's a group of friends of us that all race together, and we give him a hard time because he drives Hondas, and all the rest of us, we drive Cavaliers. So we always tell him, you know, Team Cavalier is the way to go. So
I don't know. Is there an expression like eating crow right now?
A Honda.
I don't know.
But, you know, he's a nice dude, and he let me jump in, and, you know, I can't thank him enough.
Yeah,
so. That
is a nice dude.
Good friend.
So if you are racing Barona and Paris, I mean, those are two different tracks. Do you have a preference of small track versus big track? I mean, that's a big track, Paris.
I like the smaller track just because the cars are closer.
Yeah, they are.
You know. A little bit more of a talent than a horsepower.
Right.
At least in my opinion. So Paris, you know, it's a little bit more of a horsepower track, but you still got to have, you know, obviously the talent to wheel it into the turns at the speed, no matter what class you're driving. So I like the smaller tracks better, but Paris, I mean, their facility is
amazing.
It's top-notch facility. Yeah. I mean, I've been racing there for a long time, almost 20 years, I believe.
In other divisions?
Yeah, I ran the little four-cylinder division when they had it a long time ago. I ran street stocks. I ran the factory stock there. I ran the figure eight stuff there. Now back to the four. I ran just about everything except for a modified, I think.
Any interest?
Yeah, but my wallet doesn't.
I understand. Yeah, I understand. Did
what
you
was
have
your
something
favorite?
To say? Yeah.
I was just, what was your favorite running up there?
You know, they all have their own thing. I mean, mm-hmm. I really like the four-cylinder class just because it's a little bit cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot harder to buy, I guess, horsepower, as you could say.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little bit a lot closer together. The figure eights, they're always fun. I mean, that's fun. That's intense. So
they're fun to watch.
Tense.
They are. The crowds that we get for that are just, it's just cool when you get out of the car and you just hear everybody yelling and screaming because, you know, it was a good show. So
yes.
I like it all.
Anything it's like being a rock star when you get out.
Yeah. He likes it all.
Yeah. I mean, I could finish last and people cheer and it makes me feel good. Even if they're not cheering for you and somebody else, it's still, you know, you just tell them that they're cheering for you.
Yeah, it's a good show. My co-host and I have been up a couple of times to watch that Night of Destruction night. Have you seen it, Greg?
No, I've only been up there to see the sprints.
Oh, okay. Well, I highly recommend it. The listeners probably know because I get really excited when they do it. The figure eights, sometimes they have trailers attached. It's hilarious.
Oh, I said, yeah, I've done it all. I've done it with the trailers. I've done it with the regular figure eight. I've done everything at the Night of Destruction with the exception of the double deckers. But we're
those were fun.
So can you describe that for a listener that doesn't know what the double decker is? Because the double decker is amazing. Can you describe that, please?
Yeah, you got the top. You got two cars stacked on top of each other. The top one is just a shell, so there's no motor, no trans. I think you could even take the front and rear tires and axles off, if I remember correctly.
You probably want less weight up there.
Yep, you want less weight up there.
Bring that center of gravity down.
Yep. And the driver on the top controls the steering, and then the driver on the bottom controls the gas.
Isn't that awesome?
Oh, that's fun.
Now, the last one I went to, I feel like it was at the end of last season, a couple of them went over, like top. Okay, my co-host who can talk is actually holding up three fingers. Like, one of them went over.
Three went over. It was awesome. I loved it.
Yeah,
and you were cheering.
I didn't see them too much. Yeah, I don't get to see those too much. I get to just watch them on the YouTube after, but yeah.
Because you're in staging or you're in the pit, you're in the pits getting ready?
Yeah, generally in staging or trying to fix the car or take the trailer off and get ready for the next race or helping somebody out. But yeah, those cars, they're getting faster and faster and people get more comfortable. So
yeah, that's a good point.
You know, they're guaranteed to tip at least once a night.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So earlier you said chasing points. What's your plan for this season?
Well, we started out racing some races out in Arizona just to kind of get back into the swing of things. And then I wanted to run for points, state points last year for IMCA, but I had a couple prior commitments that it just didn't work out. So this year, that is our goal. So we raced at Ventura, Verona, Paris, and we're pretty much just going to stick around to those tracks.
Oh my gosh, Ventura to Paris. So he just mentioned the smallest track I've ever raced to the biggest one I've ever seen in person. Wow. You do it all.
I luckily I have a wife that allows me to, and it's fairly affordable class.
Yeah, absolutely.
Doesn't. Unless you catch on fire, then that's another.
Well, yeah, I mean, you should cut down on that. If you can help, maybe write that out of your season plan. One fire, done. Check that off. Now you mentioned your wife. That's awesome. You have her support. Any other sponsors you want to give a shout out to?
Right now, it's mainly just myself, my wife. My dad helps me out, Jose's Tractors. And, that's pretty much it. We're very low budget this year.
Understood. I'm going through a home remodel. I like to stay out of trouble. It's less parts I have to order and buy, and staying out of trouble. It's a good thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Rolling it on the trail.
I like to start in the back. I never want to start in the middle.
The middle can be, you get bumped around. And we've said that. My crew said that. I drove it on the trailer at night. That was a win.
Yes.
Yep.
Especially in the little
wheels.
Especially in what, Greg?
Especially in open wheels.
Yeah. So is your horn hooked up on your car? Just curious.
No. No horns hooked up. All the ACs taken out. I mean, these things, they're pretty stock, but they're starting to become more and more racy because, you know, people are trying to figure out ways where they could shed weight and gut them out more and more. Even though you're not supposed to, but I mean, the bad thing about IMCA is they've a set of rules, but it's all just been how that tech official interprets the rules. So, you know, it could vary from track to track, but for the most part, I mean, it's I know Paris and Verona, they do a pretty good job of being on the same page.
Yeah. You needed to say that because they're going to be checking you soon.
So no, it's totally fine. People don't understand, you know, I had a $300 motor from the junkyard, and that car I did, it was pretty good. I mean, it never finished out of third place unless it broke.
And, smooth driver.
You know, I don't know what about those cars. I don't know about the driver part. Just, you know, a little bit of the car. A little bit of luck.
I just had a technical question for him. So the Sport Compacts, can you buy those cages from Summit, or do you have to make those cages just in the shop? Like, how do you cage those things in?
Yeah, so I think there's some dude on the internet that sells cages. Some guy named Larry Dickinson or something. I know a few other guys locally that build them, but for the most part, I mean.
So you're on your own.
Yeah, I think it's easier just to build your own cage because then you know, I mean, we're not all the same height and we're not all the same
yeah,
length.
That's so true.
But easier to move some stuff around.
Because I know you, with the Camaros and the Mustangs, you can buy those kits from Summit and just kind of bolt it in and weld it up. But I guess those guys are all custom fabbed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're running the factory stocks or the hobby stocks, I mean, you're offsetting those cages and doing a bunch of stuff to those things to get the weight where you want it.
One last question. Go ahead. I'm just so curious also, are you allowed to run an automatic or are they all stick shift? Is it 50-50? Do you have a choice?
You can run automatic or stick. I prefer stick because it's easier. You got the option of running second gear, third gear, and then obviously your tire combo.
I mean,
it's not like with the quick change where we could just switch out gears. So.
We
just switch out the front two times and switch, you know, for running second or third and hope for the best.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Well, you know what? Good luck to you this season. You got the fires out of the way, so let's stop that. And kudos to the wife for the support as well. And a shout out to Honda owners. Sorry, no, I mean, no offense, but your buddy saved you. Ken McWilliams. Well, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say he's a good guy, but, you know.
But he drives a Honda.
Team Cavalier, you know, all the way.
I hear you. My co-host, I think you raced a Yamaha. Whatever I grew up with. It's my mom, by the way, on Mother's Day, my co-host. She had a sticker on the back fender that said, I'd rather eat worms than ride a Honda. Do you remember that?
Your dad put that on there, though.
Okay. We got to go to a quick commercial break. Best of luck to you, Mr. McWilliams. We do have more to come. Please hang out right here on Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
Welcome back. You are listening to Racer Radio. Thanks for hanging out with us this hour. FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
This final segment is brought to you by Certified Car Clinic. Check them out. They have, Greg, they have their own in-house dyno, just so you know.
Oh.
They will work on anything you have and make sure whatever they do, they can prove it. Check them out on certifiedcarcare.net. That was certifiedcarcare.net. Yes, a dyno. Hi, Mike.
Get your dwarf car on that thing. See what it's pushing at the rear wheels.
Well, that's true, but my crew chief would say it's not the car, it's the driver. So the nut
behind the wheel.
Yeah, the loose nut behind the wheel. Yes. So earlier, I had a story, and it was inspired by Brendan, who's doing a great job. Thank you, Brendan, for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome.
He works the board, and he's always a pleasure to work with every week. So he played a little Run the Jewels earlier and sprung. And I listen before going into staging to music. I mentioned earlier I use music. And I bring this up with my students sometimes or people who are struggling with, you know, depression or anxiety. I use music, as I mentioned earlier, to bring me out of a mood or put me in a mood. So, this story involves the two people sitting across from me, and they haven't figured it out yet.
No, we haven't.
They're making weird faces. I was sitting in staging, and for the listeners, Greg and I have had some really good battles out there on the track. I would say, you know, we get out of the car and we're like, oh, did you do this? And you did that, and I did this, and it was all fun. It's dirt track, so we've used our
Rubbins racing.
The Nerf bars are there for a reason.
Yes.
But it's been some clean racing. So I go back, maybe it was 4 years ago. I'm in staging, and I am listening to Rage Against the Machine. It's usually Sprung Monkey, Stay Down, Suicidal Tendency, You Can't Bring Me Down, which is on the back of my car, and then lots of Run the Jewels. Lots of Run the Jewels. listeners, you may or may not want to look them up. It's aggressive. Anywho, I was listening to Rage the Machine. I'm in my car in staging, and I apparently, everyone in staging heard me go, Mom! Tell Greg I'm listening to Rage Against the Machine, because you were in a Rage Against the Machine band, right?
Yeah, we do a tribute act to Rage.
I think I saw you once in El Cajon or one, I don't know, I don't know where the 52 and the 67 cross.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That show. So I'm like, Mom, tell Greg, because you were in staging. And she goes, she sticks her head in, she goes, I don't have to tell him. Everybody just heard you. I was blasting it, and I was excited, and it reminded me of this Rage Against the Machine. So I don't want to forget about this whole music tie that the three of us have. My mother, a musician, she actually taught me Pink Panther in third grade, and I was hooked. I got piano lessons and have played my entire life.
Yep.
But you as well have been in many bands.
Yeah.
How?
Been a lot
why?
Of, just, I don't know. It soaked up a lot of good time. I had friends that were interested into the same music. And it usually just started being friends. And, oh, you play bass? I know a drummer.
Right.
Let's just put something together.
Right.
You know?
That's how it goes. Yeah, and it clicks or it doesn't.
Yeah. You know, and then... You know, sometimes it doesn't, and you just, everyone goes their separate ways or whatever.
Yes.
But, you know, I've always, I'd say I've been doing it since I was 14.
Nice.
Yeah.
So originals and covers?
Yeah, everything. Like, I play banjo in a bluegrass band.
Oh.
And I play, like, dobro and violin all that stuff.
Wow. Okay, so far you like... What, Brendan? He's got a face now. What,
well, I'm just listening. I'm finding this interesting. Not me.
I can read faces. I'm a middle school teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know all of those instruments.
Yeah, I do a lot of hillbilly music. I've done, you know, we'll do line dances. And
a live band at a line dance?
Line dances.
Oh,
and
fun.
Like, we'll have a caller sit in. They'll ship the caller in from out of state.
I have
we'll
no play. Idea what you're talking about. I'm
they
sorry.
Call the line dance.
Oh!
You know, grab your partner and that whole thing. And
like
then do-si-do.
Oh, cool.
You know. And
where do you do that? In San Diego?
Well, I used to dive a lot. And I would travel around. And I used a lot of times Facebook and Craigslist to find open jams.
Got it.
Because bluegrass music is pretty traditional. And everyone knows the same songs.
Yeah.
So you don't really have to practice. You can literally throw a band together.
What key is this again?
You don't exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Or do cheat sheets or, you know, fake books and stuff like that.
Progression.
Yep. And more times than not, when I'm in town, I'll pick up a band and we'll just go play bluegrass music.
That's pretty cool.
You know.
My mom used to do roller skate rinks.
Yes. Well, it paid the bills. Yeah. I did keyboard, was known as Gracie for Grace Slick, but I think I just dated myself.
Maybe a little.
So goodbye.
Maybe a little.
The big organs?
Yes.
Like
she had the Hammond.
Hammond B3 and the Leslie speaker. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wah, 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 wah.
Yep. I was in a funk band, and the keyboard player would bring his Hammond B3 with his Leslie cabinet.
And it was on wheels.
Yep. Beautiful sounding machine.
Yes.
So now you are doing the bluegrass, I'm assuming, is
that's I still do that now and then.
Oh, in San Diego?
Yeah. There's a very big bluegrass community in San Diego.
What's a big venue you might be at?
For bluegrass, usually not. We do coffee shops.
Okay.
And trying to think where it's just not on the top of
that's
my brain.
Okay.
But
so,
you
but
can
those...
go on Craigslist and there's a list of bluegrass jams throughout the whole county.
So it's traditional, so I guess I would be in the cover category.
Right.
But you do originals as well?
Yeah, I've been in original bands, mostly when I was younger.
Mower
was original, and then I was in another band back in New Hampshire. We played mountain metal, is what we called it.
Did you make up that genre, or is that really
a genre? No, that's actually
a
genre that's out there.
You know, that was a question for my friend, for my listeners.
Yeah.
Mountain metal, okay.
Yeah. And that was just a band back in New Hampshire. A bunch of us friends got together, played Boston a lot.
What are you doing now? Because you are opening for someone that a lot of people are going to know.
Yeah, we do a Rage Against the Machine tribute. And
you're still in that?
Yeah.
Oh, because apparently I like to listen to Rage. Oh, I thought you were done with that.
No, we still kept that together. And we're playing the OC Tavern on the 21st. And we're playing with
May 21st
this month.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. And we're playing with a Nine Inch Nails tribute act and a Megadeth tribute act.
Okay. Bring the earplugs.
Yes.
Not that it's bad, but just loud.
No, it'll be loud. And then the following week, I'm going to miss that race.
Oh, our last one before we're off for 2 months.
Yeah, before the break. But it was too good to, you know, to say no to. We're warming up for Limp Bizkit.
Oh, yeah. You can't say that again. You're opening for who?
Limp Bizkit.
Holy cow. Where?
At the Virgin Hotels in Las Vegas.
Oh,
Vegas.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's a pretty big venue, so, and they're paying really well, so you can't say no to those.
No,
type of...
there's no, I can't think of a reason you should say no. I mean, it is a race day.
Yeah, it was, and I was kind of hemming and hawing on it, and then they kept just saying, well, we get free hotel and all this other stuff, and I'm like, okay.
Nah, it's going to be cool. That'll be great. That'll be great.
So, yeah, that'll be a fun time.
Before we run out of time, we do have a couple minutes. So did you want to give a shout out or a thank you to anybody in particular?
Oh, well, of course, Frank Dameron of Sunset Cliff Automotive. I mentioned him earlier. He's helped me in the dwarf car thing ever since I started out here.
Did he race?
He used to race. He got into a wreck and messed his back up.
He got into a wreck?
Yeah, and he hurt his back and he hasn't been in since. But
well, yeah,
he supports it
110%. Yeah, he's always
out there.
Yeah.
And then,
and the little two-wheel going around.
Yeah. And he has Bardo built a sidecar for him.
Yes.
For his little puppy.
Yes. Yeah. I haven't met the new puppy.
But Frank's always been a good friend, so I have to give a shout-out to Frank.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's nice of you. Always nice to see him out there.
Always.
So are we going to lose you to motorcycles, or are you going to try to
I'm
do both?
To
or
try to do everything?
So excuse me, you have two bands, motorcycle racing, dwarf car racing, a house that you're trying to make improvements on, and a lovely wife.
Yes.
And do you work? We didn't.
Yeah.
He would have to. Yeah.
Is that a full-time job? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all.
That's what supports everything.
I understand. It's why I stay out of trouble. I race on a teacher's pay. Mom.
Yes,
thank
ma'am.
You so much for saying yes to being my co-host.
You are so very welcome.
And to the other moms who made the extra attempt, why don't you guys keep listening every Sunday? Dave Stahl and I are here. And Greg Goodwin, number 65?
61.
Oh, 61. My bad. I'm sorry. 65.
Black
Harris.
Car.
61, black and white.
Yep.
It's nice to have you back.
I appreciate you having me.
On radio. I mean, it's nice to have you back on the track. I'm pretty sure I'm supposed to say bye. You've been listening to Racer Radio on FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
There we go. See you next week.
Rock and roll.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.